Welcome to Sling Stones, a podcast with insights for the Christian journey, proudly brought to you by Healing Care Ministries. Now here's your host, Terry Wardle.
Have you ever noticed how often a portion of a psalm is quoted in Scripture? Particularly in the New Testament, if you go to the book of Hebrews, you see little segments of psalms coming up over and over again. Even Jesus at the cross spoke verses from the Psalms. When he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He took that right from Psalm 22, verse 1. When he said, into your hands I commit my spirit, he took that from Psalm 31, verse 5. It's almost as if the people of God would look to the Psalms for guidance on how to handle specific circumstances in life. If they were going through something difficult, they went there to get guidance on how to respond. If it was something good, they went there to remind themselves of praising God. And I'm sure we do the same thing. How many times I've either led a funeral or been at a funeral when someone turns to Psalm 23. And as they do, it brings a tremendous amount of comfort to people that have just experienced a loss. I know for myself, I think of Psalm 55 a lot, where it says, cast your cares and your anxieties on the Lord. I do that an awful lot. Or Psalm 46 recently has been on my mind a lot. The whole idea of turning to the Lord, trusting him as an ever-present help. This is really important. The Psalms provide us a framework for not only praising God, but for looking at the circumstances of our lives and learning how to appropriately respond, giving us strength, helping us. So I have a question for you. What do you do in life when it appears, I underscore the word appears, that God has left the building? When it appears as though God maybe has crossed his arms and he's no longer involved, standing back, watching. Now, I want you to know that I don't believe God does that, but I think there are times when we are very aware of the presence of God, but then there are times when we are not as aware, when it seems like the heavens are as brass, and we look at what's happening around us, and we begin to wonder, where is God in this, and is he weighing in, and does he even care? And I think this is something that a lot of people are thinking about as we move into a new year, coming out of what we did in 2020. All the tensions in the United States, actually globally, the pandemic, the illness, the loss of life, people running out of money, conflict in governments, the whole climate crisis. It wouldn't be strange for people to begin to ask God, where are you in this? And it could be that they begin to wonder, I know I do, how do I actually respond when it does appear that things are only getting worse and not getting better? Now, I'm sure you've experienced this in the past in your own life, and maybe to some degree you're experiencing it now. And I do know that in this issue of the pandemic, it is very different from family to family. Some individuals hasn't had any effect on their income, their jobs, even their family life. Other individuals, it's been devastating. But even if right now this isn't relevant, it will be relevant again. The question of how do you respond when it appears as though God may not be there and God's not listening. And that's where I want to take you to two particular psalms. because I think they provide us great guidance on what we are to do when we are frustrated and we don't sense the active presence of God. In Psalm 74, it begins with, God, why have you rejected us forever? Why is your anger smoldering? And then the psalmist goes on and he lists all kinds of things that have happened and how the enemies have risen up and the sanctuary has been burnt to the ground and the name of God has been defiled. And it says this, we are given no signs from God. There are no prophets left. And none of us know how long this is going to last. Boy, there's a little bit of that that has some relevance, doesn't it, to our life right now. And so as we begin to cry out, oh Lord, how long is this thing going to last? How bad is this going to get? It may be helpful for us to look at this, and we get to see that the first half of the psalm is a very clear crying out and being honest with God and talking about frustration. But then the psalmist turns, and he says, but God, you are my king from long ago, and you bring salvation on the earth. And what he begins to do, this psalmist, is he begins to recount all kinds of things that God has done in the past. It's an amazing list. It was you who split the sea, you who broke the heads of the monsters. It was you who crushed Leviathan. It was you who opened the springs and the streams. The day is yours. Yours is the night. It was you who set the boundaries to the earth. And then it ends by saying, rise up, O God. Defend your cause. Defend us. You see, what the psalmist did is he was being honest about his frustration and the feeling like this is a desert experience and I don't know where God is, but he stopped himself to say, I'm not going to go further. I want to stop and begin to recount what is true. What has God done? To remember the past is to invite into the presence a confidence that even when God is silent and we're not sure of where he is, that he's still up to something and he's up to something good. Now, let's consider Psalm 77. It begins somewhat the same way. I cried out to God for help. I cried out. I'm in distress. I seek the Lord. He talks about groaning and meditating and his spirit is growing faint. He talks about the fact that he was waiting and hungry for God to come. Will God reject us forever, he writes. Will he never show his favor to us again? Has his unfailing love failed us? And then all of a sudden, he says this, but I'm going to remember the deeds of the Lord. I'm going to remember the deeds of the Lord and the miracles from long ago. I'm going to consider all of your works and meditate on all your mighty acts. Your ways are holy, God. You are God. You perform miracles. You display power. Your mighty arm comes and redeems your people. And then he goes on, similar to what happened in Psalm 74. And he recounts specific things that God has done. Years ago, I read a book by Jean Guillon. And in that book, she talked about the fact that there are times when it seems like God is at such a distance. And then she asked herself a question, what do I do in those times? And her answer is, I will think on him and I will wait for his return with joyful expectation. Well, that's kind of what's happening here in these Psalms that are our guidance on how do we handle times like this. We get the freedom to be absolutely honest about our frustration, but there comes a point in which we stop and we go, but wait a minute, I will remember. I will recall. And then moving through a very specific set of interventions of God over history and over our own lives, it can birth hope, and it can help us to hold on and to praise Him even more. Now, in Psalm 77, there are three movements that I think are important, and they come in verses 11 and 12. And this is what the psalmist says, "I will remember the deeds of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on your mighty deeds." I like those three words. What do we do in times like this? We will remember. Elie Wiesel once said that remembering is not simply an act of recalling something that happened in the past, but it is a degree to which we re-enter and we re-experience it. That as we bring to our mind and let the images and the memories of something that occurred in the past come within our heart, all of a sudden our body begins to respond with hope and with strength, remembering. That's why when Jesus said at the Last Supper, "Remember me," He didn't mean just remember we did this, but meet me there in that memory. Remember what I've done in the past. It'll hold you in the present. And then He says, "And I will consider all of your works." In other words, He's saying to us, when you're looking down the barrel of disaster, when a darkness has settled over, consider all the things God has done in the past, and what lessons do they teach you? It's not just a remembering and a re-entering. Consider means, what did this teach me? What did it show me? What am I going to take out of this to carry on through this particular time? It certainly can tell us that things are not always as they appear to be. That when it seems like evil is winning the day, that God is in fact very active and very involved. And that there will be another time. And then He goes on and says this, "I will remember, I will consider, and I will meditate." Now, the meditating doesn't just mean getting quiet and thinking about something. It involves inviting the Holy Spirit to bring these things to mind in such a way that they give us strength for the day. To bring what St. Ignatius called consolation into our lives, a new sunlight. Meditation is asking that this truth goes clear down to a cellular level within us, and it begins to shape the way we think and the way we feel and the way we begin to respond in difficult circumstances. How many times have we said over this last year, these are not easy days? But we are not left without a witness. And like Jesus and others who look to the Psalms as a way of navigating the circumstances of life, it would be good for us to do the same. And here's just the guidance that I think comes today. Feel free to talk about your frustrations to God. Then stop and choose to recount all that God has done. Declare it, write it down, share it with a friend. Remember. Consider. Meditate. It can strengthen us in these times, and in the end, remind us that God is present and God is good.